At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I'm Brady Cannon, along with Wes Reynolds. Nick Kenyon and Triv McKenzie are at the controls. Karina Howe and Rob Moreno support from down below as we get ready to take you through golf betting conversation for the next hour. And ladies and gentlemen, congratulations are in order for the second time in 3 weeks for my partner Wes Reynolds as he cashes in on Jon Rahm at 22-1 to win the Memorial. Nice job, Wes.
Thank you, Brady. And yeah, you know, you think it's going to be easy when a guy has an 8-shot lead going on to the back nine on Sunday, but anybody that knows that bets golf futures regularly goes knows it's never easy. It's never over. And it wasn't over. In fact, Jon Rahm had his lead trimmed to 3. Nobody really caught him. He kind of came back to the field, but fortunately, we were able to get there. It was actually a 5-shot lead through the 16th hole, but he had that 2-stroke penalty with the ball being moved as he was addressing it out of the rough. He ended up holing the chip shot. So, you know, we got there at least, 9 under par, and Jon Rahm now emerges as the new number one player in the world.
He went into the weekend as the adjusted odds favorite, and it really manifested on the back nine on Saturday. He was trailing Tony Finau by 4 shots. He made 4 birdies in a row, and the next thing you know, it was an 8-shot swing as he led Finau by 4 and then ultimately went into Sunday with a 5-shot advantage.
Yeah, he did. Tony Finau, we mentioned that might be a little bit of a buy sign, the fact that he was able to go home and set the course record on his home course in Park City, Utah, came out and played great. He was the 18-hole leader and the 36-hole co-leader, but fell apart a little on the weekend. Nice top 5 for Jason Day. Back-to-back, I believe top 10 is the first time he's done that in 18 months. So he was another one of our tips that were kind of up there. Danny Willett was up there as well, but fell apart, had a bad round over. I think he was might have shot an 81, if I recall, on Sunday, or an 82. So he fell back. But good job by Jon Rahm to now get to number one in the world. First time since 1986, first Spaniard to do it since Seve Ballesteros. And then Ryan Palmer and Mac Hughes get the 2 non-exempt spots of guys that weren't already exempt. So they get in the U.S. Open at Wingfoot come September. And then making a note here, and it's on our graphic that people can see, Matthew Fitzpatrick, only player to break 70 on Sunday, also did that in Orlando earlier this year at the Bay Hill, or the Arnold Palmer Invitational, rather. And that was very windy conditions on Sunday. So maybe make a note for Matt Fitzpatrick, especially at somewhere like the U.S. Open. I know that course is a little bit long and he's not a real big bomber off the tee, but in difficult setups, Matt Fitzpatrick is going to be a guy that you're going to want to look at.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. He was my closest contender. I had him at 80-1 to win the Memorial. Just put together that round a little bit too little too late. Ches Reavie was my other guy that was in the mix and ended up shooting 79 on Sunday in real tough conditions back in Ohio. I loved watching the event. It's really one of the best non-majors on the entire tour schedule. But the players came out, including Matthew Fitzpatrick, and congratulated Jack Nicklaus for giving them a real challenge and making it exciting and thought-provoking. It was one of the best tournaments we've seen all season, Wes, and it was a nice change from the birdie fest, the 25 under par stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Brady. Spot on. And the fact that, look, the pins on Sunday were really tough. And I know Jack was part of the CBS coverage on Saturday for the third round. And he said, well, somebody may come from the back and shoot 65 tomorrow. And then I saw those pin placements early Saturday evening for the final round on Sunday. And I was like, nobody's shooting 65 tomorrow. Basically, John Rahm with that four-shot lead going into Sunday. No one was going to chase him down, but he could come back to the field. It's like nobody else can win, but he can lose. And that's the position Rahm found himself in on Sunday.
This is Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you here in Las Vegas, Nevada. From Toronto, Canada, Jeff Feinberg will be our guest this week and will join us here momentarily. Wes, we are on to Minnesota. You and I and Matt Eumanns last year were all on Bryson DeChambeau and looked like we were headed for a playoff before Matthew Wolf dropped a 30-plus foot bomb on the 18th hole, ended up winning the tournament in regulation, his first PGA Tour victory, and not that long after he had won the individual NCAA championship out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and Wolf really hasn't done anything since Minneapolis last year. He did kind of show out at Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage a couple weeks ago. Bryson DeChambeau, I guess, got his revenge on Matt Wolf, defeating him and holding him off at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. But Wolf is about 20-25 to 1 range, kind of what I've seen him at this week. And then looking at some of the favorites, this might be a week where you could take a stand against most of the favorites, Brady. DJ, look, DJ and Brooks Koepka can win any single week, but Brooks Koepka mentioned that his knee problem was coming back. I don't know if that's for real or if that's an excuse for subpar play by his standards. But DJ shot what you mentioned on Twitter, the double Jerry Rice, 280s back-to-back. To finish 16 over. I think he was second to last in the field. I think he only beat one guy. That was David Lingmuth, who is a former Memorial champion in his own right. And then you look at Tommy Fleetwood coming back on tour. This is his first time, his first real full tournament since the Honda Classic. Of course, the Players being canceled. Tommy Fleetwood has been stateside, though, I believe, for at least over a week, because last Monday he did shoot a 64 at Shinnecock Hills, where he has the course record, and you recall where he was second to Brooks Koepka in the U.S. Open a few years ago. So, yeah, this is I don't think that the favorites exactly scare you necessarily this week. Any of them can win, and Paul Casey's included in that 20-25 to 1 range, but yeah, this is a tournament that just looks wide open, where there's going to be a lot of birdies. Wind's supposed to blow on Thursday and Friday, so maybe the winning score's in the high teens, like 18 or 19 under, but I think you're spot on. It's probably going to be around 20 under par.
Similar conditions. You mentioned the wind, Wes. Similar conditions this week as we stay in the Midwest for the fourth week in a row. Temperatures in the high 80s, low 90s, possible threat of thunder showers here and there. But the quality of the field, vastly different this week. We went from major championship-like field at the Memorial in Dublin, Ohio, to really one of the more watered-down fields we've seen all season this week in Minnesota.
Yeah, only six of the top 30 in the field this week. And with the WGC down in Memphis next week and then the PGA in a couple weeks, this was kind of the sandwiched event, unfortunately, for the people in the Twin Cities this week.
And it's time to bring in our guest. It is the member guest segment here on Long Shots. We've had his partner on the show a couple of times, but now we get the better half, right, Jeff? He is Jeff Feinberg, professional golf bettor, professional golf handicapper, and golf podcaster. You can follow him on Twitter at gfeinberg17. That's G-F-I-E-N-B-E-R-G-1-7. Jeff, great to have you on the program. And you're up there in the north, not too far from Minnesota and the 3M Open. This particular tour event, having been held only once before, how did you dive into the handicap this week with no real tournament history to go off of?
That is always a factor because you like to see a baseline of what sort of players have won here before. People that do this often, it's not a surprise to see, you know, typical skill sets translate, even if it is different players from year to year. And you like to see a winning score range that you know you like to battle with. But I do believe the scores will certainly be low this week, and you need to be looking at players that enjoy a bit of a birdie party, and you know, at least have one real super low round in them this week.
And we also should congratulate Jeff. He was also on Jon Rahm last week at the Memorial Tournament. So a nice cash for both of us. But Jeff, obviously not as deep of a field this week. And looking at the top of the leaderboard, you got some really tepid favorites that you might be able to make a case that you can stand against, with DJ and Koepka, Tommy Fleetwood making his debut, Finau, a massive price cut from where he was last week, and then Matt Wolf. This looks like a week where you can go down the board. What say you?
I definitely do agree with that. The opportunities do feel like they come from down the board. You could make a case. I could argue, I'm not betting it, you could argue Dustin Johnson at 10-1 this week versus this field on this course is much more value than having to bet him last week at 16-1 on that course over at the Memorial. And I do believe he's more like the guy that won a Travelers than back-to-back right. 80s. But yeah, you certainly can look far down the board. Brooks Koepka is a guy I wouldn't touch with anyone else's money right now. If he won, it wouldn't surprise me. Fleetwood, you just want to see it once. I wouldn't be shocked if he wins. I actually think he could be really live in a couple weeks at Harding Park. And Finau, while it's incredibly tempting, and I'll tell you why quickly, he sort of unleashed that Bryson in him last week at Memorial. But if he tries to do it at a far less penal course, I still think he can have excellent results. And the ugly numbers that really haunted him aren't there. That being said, he doesn't bring win equity to the table at all. And as I've discussed with Pat on my podcast many times, you really get the feeling he is just as likely to win an event like last week at 60-1 as opposed to these low-end field events where he is in this price range. So you're better off, even myself, a Finau guy, just waiting out a little longer to catch the big number at the stronger field.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I figured Finau was a good candidate for a bounce back this week. Like you say, a less penal course, obviously a completely different field, but I certainly don't like the number of 13-1 we're seeing right now. Do you find handicapping last week's field, a major championship level field, is more difficult, or do you think it is more of a challenge this week where maybe it's more of a toss-up?
You know what, I would say big picture, these ones are probably harder. You do get the sense the winner can come from anywhere, although we are in this range of, we got an outlier Bryson win a couple weeks ago and an outlier big Nick Taylor win at Pebble Beach. And outside of those, it's really been good golf. Bryson's obviously a good golfer, but that 20 to like 60-1 price range just cashing consistently.
Jeff, looking down the board, and maybe if you found anybody in that 20-60-1 range, as you were saying, anybody standing out to you this week in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, I am. Sometimes you got to plug your nose, but I'm going to back Paul Casey this week. In that, at least you know, in the Great White North, we're able to get him at 25-1. It's a ball strikers course. That's a term that's thrown around all the time, guys. But literally last year's results proved it. Both Colin Morikawa and the winner, Matthew Wolff, Morikawa second, even Bryson. They led the field in strokes gained, and they didn't even putt that well. I would expect that really to translate this week. Paul Casey, despite the eighth on a par three last week, that sabotaged the weekend. No, I'm still here. Hello?
Did we lose Jeff there?
No. Hello?
No, we still got it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Wes, are you with me?
Paul Casey, I just really like the pick this week. It's a ball striker's course. In his first event back at the Travelers, he gained over five strokes with the irons. Last week, despite the eight on the par three, he still gained three strokes with the irons. I actually think it sets up perfectly for Paul Casey to make a big charge. A little behind that, other fantastic ball strikers, Russell Henley, Eric Van Rooyen. Those would be the guys I would be looking at. Certainly both can go very low and have a history of doing so.
Yeah, and Jeff, I'm actually also on EVR this week, and I know your partner Pat Mayo is also on that. But to kind of give you support for Paul Casey here, even though I didn't bet him, I was looking at the stats this week of the guys that were in the field. Paul Casey, second in the field. He's ninth overall on tour in strokes gained off the tee, and first in the field in strokes gained approach, ninth overall on tour. So he was the one favorite that I felt that maybe I could play if I decided to. I wish I had a little better price, but you're not going to get it in this weaker field. Any longer bombs that maybe guys aren't talking about that you should consider? Because, look, Matt Wolff, I know he's more of a proven commodity now, but he's 125-1 to win this thing last year. So anybody around that range you might be looking at.
Yeah, just sort of peeking in around that 80, maybe closer to 100 range if you shop it. I'm a big fan of Bernd Wiesberger. The guy wins a ton on the European Tour, sort of like Eric Van Rooyen. They go to these European Tour events that are sort of set up at resort courses, like a lot of Korn Ferry events, and they seem to do very well. So I think their games will translate incredibly well here. So Bernd Wiesberger is one guy I like. Keith Mitchell's another guy gaining some steam this week. We know we got to trust that he, can figure out the bent grass putting, because all his success in his career, his big success, has historically come on the Bermuda greens. But everything this layout sort of represents points to a guy like Keith Mitchell for me. And going, even deeper down the board, a guy like Seamus Power, he can make those birdies in bunches. Very strong with the irons. He comes with some flaws. He is around the 200-1 area. But he is a guy with the skill set that I am looking at this week.
Jeff Feinberg is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at gfeinberg17, FIENBERG17, professional golf bettor and handicapper. You can also find his podcast with a friend of the program, Pat Mayo. Jeff, I lost you guys there for a moment, and I don't know if you hit my question, but I wanted to find out maybe some of the guys that you are committed to fading this week. Anybody that is absolutely not on your radar in Minnesota?
That's a real interesting one. I guess would say, to be a bit bold, I don't know if it's bold, but I would have no problem picking on Brooks Koepka if I got a fair price versus Dustin Johnson, hypothetically near the top. Going farther down the board, a guy that I might look to pick on, who I'm a big fan of, is Alex Noren. His game sort of sets up for the grinder type course, and this is going to be a birdie party, and he's not even striking his irons well. So I think he could be a guy at the moment who I do like to back at big numbers when I know the layouts can get tough, because that's when he plays his best. Might be a guy I'm looking to go against.
Jeff, just a couple weeks away from traveling to San Francisco and going to Harding Park for the PGA Championship. And I know you tipped your hand a little bit earlier with Tommy Fleetwood might be a guy you're looking at. But anybody else you've already got in pocket or anybody you're looking to target for the PGA here in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, Pat and I did a preview show around Christmas. And on that day, well recorded, we bet both Sungjae Im and Victor Hovland in that 125-1 range. So those are the fun long shots that are certainly going to be shorter, are shorter. Now, obviously, it's a big ask, both of those young players, to win the majors. That's what is in my pocket. A beautiful course in Harding Park. Some remember it from the match play a couple years ago that was the same weekend as Mayweather-Pacquiao in Vegas. I remember because watching the undercard while some late-night matches were happening on the East Coast. Gary Woodland lost in the final to Rory McIlroy that year. Make of it what you will. Paul Casey played well. Jim Furyk. But like any major right now at the big boy golf course, you're going to have to be long accurate off the tee, a fantastic ball striker, and maybe a bit of luck sack putting. I'm not really breaking any news with any of that. At the moment, guys, I just can't expect it to be fought between, not be fought between the super elites that are rising in the game at the moment, to be honest.
Jeff, with the way Jack Nicklaus set up the course last week for the Memorial, he had the thick rough. It really felt like a major championship. Did you take away anything from that? Do you feel that maybe that was a good little precursor to set up some thoughts about who might do well at Harding Park? Because, I mean, with the rough, it could be a very similar golf tournament.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You never know, like, I like to make these jokes what the marine layer might do to Bryson and his calculations, but you're absolutely correct, because when breaking down Memorial, even the workday version of it, me and Pat were both like, you know, the Memorial, you almost take a yearly, year in, year out, you almost attack the Memorial like it's a major. And it's a very, you sort of hyper-focus the card in a shorter range because history tells you to do that. And well, we got, you know, Gary Woodland and Shane Lowry last year. Just right now at the moment, I expect a leaderboard, a super elite, just like we saw John Rahm at Memorial, rise as Harding Park shows its teeth.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us here on Long Shots this week. We'll do it again down the road, and good luck at the 3M Open in Minnesota.
Thanks, guys. All the best.
Thank you, Jeff.
That is Jeff Feinberg. You can follow him on Twitter at GFeinberg17. Does a nice podcast with a guy we've had on the show a couple times, Pat Mayo. And Wes, yeah, you and Jeff both on the John Rahm train last week.
Yeah, you know, just saw a buy sign in the final round at the workday. He was one over par going into Sunday. All of a sudden, he shoots a 64. He only gained like a half a stroke on the round. So that told you that the ball striking, the off the tee game is always good for John Rahm. It's just the irons maybe aren't always as sharp. And we saw him hit a couple bad ones on the second nine on Sunday. But fortunately, he was ahead enough. But to Jeff's point before we go to break, look, I agreed. I thought his analysis was spot on the PGA, and he's gotten some of those guys at good prices like Victor Hovland or a Sungjae Im. Maybe this is their breakthrough here in a couple weeks.
Jeff came out last week and said John Rahm should not be 22-1 in any golf tournament, and that appears prophetic as he ascends to number one in the world. We'll come back and do our Tiger Tracker segment, see where the big cat's at this week when we return here on Long Shots right on VSiN and VSiN.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Coming up in less than 4 weeks, it's the first ever VEASAN golf tournament. Our colleague Matt Humans has put this together, a two-person scramble event at Prim Valley Golf Club on Sunday, August 16th. It will be available to a limited number of VEASAN subscribers. And Wes, with two winners in the last 3 weeks, do you have an outright winner for the first annual VEASAN golf tournament in pocket already?
I know, bet against me, Brady, for sure, because if I don't play, I'll be at the 19th hole anyway, welcoming our listeners and our participants. But I got a feeling maybe there could be a decent price on our friend Nick Bogdanovich if he elects to play, the director of trading at William Hill. Nick is a very good player, as you all know.
Yeah, he certainly is. I've played with Nick a few times during the quarantine. Guy shoots 80 on a regular basis. He'll certainly be a favorite if he is in the field. Let's get to the Tiger tracker and see what the big cat is up to. Tiger Woods finished 40th at the Memorial in his first tour appearance since February, made the cut right on the number, shot a pair of 71s, a couple of 76s to finish six over par for the tournament. Wes, I'm wondering what your reaction was to Tiger's first appearance back in action on tour.
You know, I'm not going to give him too many demerits. I mean, I expected a little bit better just off the fact that his course history is so impeccable at Muirfield Village. But look, he mentioned after his rounds at the press conference on Sunday that he needs more reps. Now, the reporter, I forget who the reporter was in question, asked him more tournament reps, and he said, "I need more reps." So he was a little coy about that, and we know there's just one tournament before we get to Harding Park, and that's the WGC FedEx St. Jude in Memphis. Obviously, a WGC is a prestigious event, but when you're in Tiger Woods' stead right now, he really is all about the majors, being that he's in his 40s now, and he's dealt with so many injuries. So This is going to be it for him in terms of just focusing mainly on major championships. So I would be very surprised if we see him in Memphis next week. He just never likes to play the week before a major. He's a big believer in prepping in private or with his team instead of playing a competitive tournament. Some other guys like Phil Mickelson, they like to always have the competition the week before the major.
You know, nothing has been according to script in 2020, right? And obviously the golf schedule is much different. And Tiger's only appeared one time since February. And you mentioned he needs more reps. I believe it was Amanda Baleonis on CBS that asked him, you know, will we see you again soon? And he said, yes. He obviously wouldn't be definitive about when that was going to be. But I don't know. Maybe with everything that's been so crazy this year, if he needs more reps, I mean, personally, I would think he needs more tournament reps under his belt before the PGA, and maybe he shows up in Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly, I mean, look, this year in golf, as well as all areas of sport and society, has kind of broke the mold. So maybe this is the year with the schedule the way it is that he does play the week before, because he really never does and never has throughout his entire career. He's always been choosy and picky with his events. But look, what we saw of him in May when he played the match down in Jupiter, Florida with Peyton Manning and against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady, he looked pretty good. He looked in shape. He looked very lean. So he looked ready to go. So that's why I thought maybe he was going to finish a little better than he ended up finishing, making the cut on the number and then finishing in the back of the field. But I don't think I'm not going to give him too many demerits off that performance. I know that there were some people that liked him last week, and he didn't show out with a really high level finish. But I think, look, I'm still kind of liking him more so for the U.S. Open than I am for the PGA, simply because we know that Wingfoot is going to be a bear of a course. We know the USGA's had extra time to doctor it up and grow the rough a little bit. So, look, Tiger at this stage of the career, he's the greatest grinder ever in the history of the game of golf. So I would like him a little more for the U.S. Open than I would in a couple weeks at the PGA.
Well, it also makes sense, Wes, as he'll have more time to prepare, theoretically, for the U.S. Open. Again, I think per his schedule and what we've seen out of him, it seems that the PGA is maybe a bit rushed if you're going to think about backing Tiger in San Francisco. He's now 25-1 to win the PGA Championship at the Westgate. Wes, when we come back, I'll ask you if you think that number might drift up. Again, just one tournament under his belt before they tee it up for the first major of the year. And we will talk major implications coming up next, right here on Long Shots on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. The course that rates the highest in each factor is Bally High Golf Club, a tropical golf course paradise located on the Las Vegas Strip and in the shadows of some of the most famous hotels in the world. At Bally High, designed by award-winning architects Brian Schmidt and Lee Curley, you will find hundreds of mature palm trees, lagoon-like water features, beautiful bunkering, and a stunning clubhouse home to Sealy Restaurant and an indoor-outdoor patio experience and event space. The course offers Bluetooth technology, caddies upon request, Jello shots, model-like beverage cart staff, VIP service from curb to course and back again, high-quality food and beverage, and a par three challenge where you can double your money with one swing. The stunning Bally High Golf Club, located in the heart of the Las Vegas Strip, golf jackpot, and there are many reasons why. Play today. Learn more about the Bally High experience or reserve your tee time. Call 888. AIGolfClub.com. And it is indeed our major implications segment. And Wes, I am starting to get a major buzz. We get an appetizer next week with the WGC event, the FedEx St. Jude in Memphis. And then it is off to Harding Park. John Rahm has now, since the win, been dropped to 12 or 14-1 in all three of the majors as far as the future outright board. I know you like him for the Masters. Would you consider him for the PGA as well now, just a couple weeks away?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly would have to. He's now the number one in the world. I do like him for the Masters. He was my pick earlier in the year, and I'm going to stick with him. The guy that I really am looking for a buy sign that I saw at the Memorial, though, and he wasn't a contender, he ended up finishing T13, was Xander Schauffele. And he was 8-over for 13 holes on Thursday at the Memorial. Ended up only finishing 1-over par for the tournament, tied for 13th. So that showed you that he fought back. He shot 70 on Sunday in very tough conditions. So I mentioned it, and I already have him at 25-1. I mentioned this is a guy you're going to probably want on your card in a couple weeks.
Well, yeah, and Matt Eumanns has done just exactly that. He has added Xander Schauffele at 25-1 to win the PGA. He came up just a stroke short for me cashing a top 10 finish at the Memorial. So Eumanns taking your advice there, and I can't disagree with you at all, and I think it is a good sign to see the way he fought back under very difficult conditions there at the Memorial, and Harding Park should suit his game. I'll give you a guy that I added off of what I saw at the Memorial, and this is a guy that I had in mind long before the Memorial with how he had finished there in the past and also his success down the road at Pebble Beach, and that's Gary Woodland. I grabbed him at 50-1. Your thoughts on Woodland for the PGA?
Yeah, I went back for seconds last week at the Memorial and fell apart a little on the weekend, was right there in the top five at the Workday. Look, last time they were in the Bay Area for a major, he won at Pebble Beach. So ball striking is still superb from Gary Woodland. It's still a top 10 guy when you look at greens and regulation, when you look at strokes gained approach, all the various ball striking statistics. So I can't make an argument with that. That might be a middle price guy I look at. The only guy I added this week that I didn't already have, I did take Danny Willett at 125-1. There's some places where you can find him at 100-1 as well. He had a horrible round on Sunday, but he was right there just up in the third to last group on Sunday at the Memorial, and he finished fourth at Detroit a couple weeks before. So he's putting together back-to-back fairly solid outings. So Willett is a guy I like, and if the wind blows in San Francisco, which it can often do in the Bay Area, even in the summertime, I could certainly see him showing up on that first page come Sunday.
Yeah, you're right. He's really starting to round into form. And I thought it was a good call by you at the Memorial because he has the win at Augusta in the Masters. And we know that correlation between the Memorial and the Masters. And Willett, he also kind of seems like a U.S. Open player, you know, hits it straight iron play, and that led to a lot of success at the Memorial. So it makes sense transitioning to the PGA, which we expect to play a lot like a U.S. Open with the thick rough, the narrow fairways. Diving deeper into my research of Harding Park, I've just started to do so recently. It looks like we may have a very U.S. Open-like test, and the course was designed by the same guy that designed Olympic Club just down the road, which has hosted a number of U.S. Opens. So could be a little, you know, typically the PGA is a little bit more lenient on the players than a U.S. Open, but we may be in for a real stiff test this year in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think so. And you mentioned the Olympic Club, of course, who Matt Eumanns, one of his plays already is Webb Simpson, who won the United States Open at the Olympic Club. So certainly a correlation there. And then looking back at Harding Park for where the match play was several years ago, Rory McIlroy, if I could get him in the high teens, if he could drift up a little bit, I'd certainly be interested. And then I'm already in on Paul Casey, unfortunately, at a worse price.
I was going to ask you in the last segment if you expect Tiger's number to drift up possibly because he's only had the one tournament under his belt prior to the first major of the year. He's at 25-1 right now at Westgate. Do you think we'd see a 30?
You know, Brady, I don't know because we talked about this a little bit last week. There is more tax in the line for the majors for Tiger. And I still think a major championship handle is going to be more than your average tournament. So bookmakers know that they're going to get Tiger bets at pretty much every single major, especially the Masters, but really all of the majors. So I don't expect it's going to drift much higher because they're going to get enough tickets on it.
Speaking of tickets, we'll go over our plays for the 3M Open in Minnesota when we come back on Match Play right here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. This is the time of the program where we go over our plays for this week's tournament. That is the 3M Open in Blaine, Minnesota. We first go to our silent partner, Matt Eumanns, and his plays for the week. He's got some futures. No head-to-head matchups this week for Eumanns. Just outright winners. And he went with Tony Finau. We spoke about this earlier. I think it might be a good time to back Tony Finau and bounce back after the horrible weekend that he suffered at Memorial. Paul Casey, a guy that Jeff Feinberg talked about, Troy Merritt, Sam Burns, and Jonathan Vegas was a guy I took a hard look at as well. What about Finau and Casey, Wes, in your opinion? You know, I spoke with Feinberg in our member guest segment there. I really thought it would be a good spot for Finau, but, you know, 13, 14 to 1, kind of a tough number.
Yeah, the price got away from me there a little bit, considering he was as high as about 70 plus to 1 last week, and now he's 14 to 1. I think when he's going to finally get that breakthrough win, and I think it's going to happen at some point, it's going to be at a little bit of a bigger, more medium-sized price. But what Matt has Paul Casey, and I think Jeff Feinberg liked him as well. And look, statistically, of the shorter price guys, like the top five, top six prices in the field, he absolutely matches up. He's I think he was the second best in terms of strokes gained tee to green, or strokes gained off the tee, rather, behind Jonathan Vegas, who I'll talk about in a minute, and also in strokes gained approach. He ranks the best in this week's field and ninth overall on the PGA Tour. So, Casey, I could certainly sponsor. I almost took that, but Matt and I did match up on a couple of plays, so I'll go ahead and mention them now, and that was Troy Merritt and Jonathan Vegas that I got kind of in the 80s. He's now in about the 65 to 70 to 1 range right now. Look, Johnny Vegas off tee is absolutely one of the better guys on tour. And if his putter gets hot, look out. He can attack these short par fours with wedges, make a lot of birdies. Also, Troy Merritt is a little bit of a local angle and one that I played when we get to my place, but I'll start with Merritt first. Born in Iowa, but he grew up in Spring Lake Park, Minnesota, which is just 6 minutes from Blaine, Minnesota, which is where the TPC Twin Cities is going to be played, suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Also started his career in the state of Minnesota at Winona State. He was tied for seventh here last year, tied for eighth 3 weeks ago at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. He's not a real bomber, but he's a relatively straight hitter, and he's a guy that goes well in kind of these big-time birdie type places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wes, about the local connection for Troy Merritt, and also spot on in your analysis with Jonathan Vegas. I looked at that guy as well. You know, he's long off the tee. I think distance is a factor this week. He's sixth on tour in strokes gained off the tee, and it was the putter that really kind of held me back from him. Now, I don't know how important putting is going to be at this tournament, and that's kind of a weird way to say it. It's just not a statistic that I think I'm going to dive head first into for this tournament. Putting is always important. You're going to have to make a lot of birdies this week. But you're right. If Vegas gets hot with the putter, he could certainly be a factor here. Now, you took another local angle with a guy that went to University of Minnesota, the Gopher, Eric Van Rooyen.
Yes, I wear my maroon shirt for the Minnesota Golden Gophers this week as a tell. Yeah, EVR played at University of Minnesota. He's trying to get his PGA Tour card for next season on the non-member points. Tied for 22nd last week at the Memorial, but if you look closely at the strokes gained stats, he was second in strokes gained approach behind Ryan Palmer, who finished second in the tournament, and he was fifth in strokes gained tee to green. His trouble was with the putter. He lost, I believe, a little over three strokes for the entire tournament when you add all four rounds together. Had he not done that, he would have been in the top 10 in the field. So EVR is a guy like Will Gordon is a name that kind of came onto the scene a few weeks ago. Was always a good amateur player and a good college player at Vanderbilt, but he was tied for third at the Travelers about a month ago. He led the field with 27 birdies, and that tie for third finish gave him unlimited sponsor exemptions for the rest of the season as he tries to accumulate points for the full PGA Tour card. Top 10 this week in strokes gained off the tee coming in terms of his season average. After he had that great outing at the Travelers, he missed the cut the next week in Detroit. So he couldn't really handle prosperity because he's so new to the PGA Tour. But now that he's had a couple week off, I think he's going to go a lot better here. And then we talked about Matthew Wolf at Oklahoma State. I think you mentioned that earlier in the program. Teammates also with Victor Hovland. The third of that trio is a guy by the name of Christopher Ventura, who was born in Mexico but raised in Norway. He was on that 2018 Oklahoma State NCAA championship squad. Started the year rough on the PGA Tour, missed four straight cuts, went back down to the Corn Ferry Tour, and has played pretty solid. He's got two top tens in the last month at Sawgrass and at TPC San Antonio. So these are both TPC courses like this week, where you got to make a lot of birdies. So I think he could go well here. And then he was also a respectable top 21 at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. He's got a lot of pedigree and a lot of potential. I think this guy could make a little bit of a run at a big number.
Wouldn't that be something if we had two straight Oklahoma State winners at the same tournament, Matthew Wolf in 2019 and Christopher Ventura in just the second year of existence for the 3M Open. I did not make him a future play, but I did take Keith Mitchell. You've got him there at 95-1. I didn't take him in the outright market, but I did take him for a top 20 finish. We know the guy is a great ball striker. That's where he really makes his hay. And he followed up with a nice finish last week at the Memorial. It's really been one of the best weeks on tour he's had all season. And I think when this guy's in form, he is certainly worth a look. Talk to me a little bit about Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell is a guy that I had a couple years ago, I believe, at the it wasn't the Balfe Bar. It was Honda. The Honda Classic, rather. And a guy that played very well in wind. The wind is expected to blow harder, mainly Friday and Saturday for the second and third round. And then be a little bit more benign on Sunday for the final round. But he's played well in windy tournaments. He was second a couple years ago at the Corrales Championship. That was in the Dominican Republic, where the wind was really blowing hard this week. That week, and also plays well at Bay Hill. Looked at the last 2 years. Bay Hill, of course, is an Arnold Palmer design, much like the TPC Twin Cities is this week. And he was second and fifth the last 2 years at Bay Hill. So big number on Keith Mitchell and a solid tee for 22nd last week. He also was third in the field for greens and regulation. So if he hits greens, he's going to get a lot of birdie opportunities here.
take a look at some of my plays now. As far as my shorter shot, like the rest of us, Wes, I took a few bombs this week, and we talked about it with our guest, Jeff Feinberg. I think you can go down the board and get some value on some guys that figure to have a better chance than their number would indicate. But as far as my shortest shot, I went with Harris English. This guy's really having a good season. He was ninth at Bay Hill this year, the last tournament before the shutdown, of course, an Arnold Palmer design. 17th at the Heritage, and then took 13th last week at the Memorial. He's got all the stats to back it up, and he's a pretty darn good putter, too. Curious as to why maybe you stayed away from Harris English.
You know, and I've played him a couple times this year, and I really like him as a player. He's been in good form. He's kind of refinding his game. I guess maybe the price kept me off this week, but he's a guy that's usually got a very good approach game. He's a top 10 in the field, at least for this week, going in, and strokes gained off the tee. So, look, he's a player I like, and is a player I've been on. I stayed away this week, but I don't disagree with your pick on English at all.
One guy I like in it seems he seems to do his best in the middle of summer when it's hot and humid, and he flourishes in a birdie fest. Now, he had to withdraw last week from the Memorial, cited an ankle problem. Funny, that was after he shot about 80 something or whatever. Danny Lee, the guy seems to WD from more tournaments than anybody else on tour. But I think this is the type of tournament where Danny Lee is a guy that's going to be, you know, on the first or second page of the leaderboard, and 195-1. Maybe that's reactionary because of the withdrawal last week. I don't know, but that number seemed awful big to me on a pretty quality player.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny Lee is a guy that goes well when the scores are low. He's been very successful at Greenbrier, in Dallas at the Byron Nelson. So usually when the scores are very low, when you're having to shoot in the high teens or in the 20 under par range, this is a guy that can make a lot of birdies. So, yeah, we both had our fair share of bombs this week. My bomb was Derek Ernst, who won in 2013 at the Wells Fargo Championship. Kind of lost his game. He's had three straight top 12 finishes on the Korn Ferry Tour. 12-10-5 is his form. So 300-1, there are worse longer shots.
We are laden with UNLV running Rebels, Wes. Derek Ernst. I have Ryan Moore, and I also have Charlie Hoffman. Hoffman, as far as course correlations, has won at TPC Boston for the Dell Technologies, another Arnold Palmer design, and finished well at Bay Hill again before the shutdown. So it's Rebel week here on Long Shots.
Absolutely. It'd be nice to get a local connection home. And when I do research for these tournaments, Brady, and I'm shocked at how many guys have come out of this UNLV golf program.
Absolutely. And another local angle there with Aaron Wise, who resides in Las Vegas. So we'll see if we can get a Rebel home this week. Wes, any last thoughts on the 3M Open before we close up shop here?
Yeah, I'm hopeful we're going to see some bombs this week. I just didn't think the favorites were somebody that you wanted to back too much. So I think we're going to see a longer odd guy hit this week.
Well, thanks to Jeff Feinberg for joining us. Thanks to Wes Reynolds, Nick Henyon, Triv McKenzie, Karina Howe, and Rob Moreno on the production side. Next week, it's down to Memphis for the WGC FedEx St. Jude, and we'll bring in Will Gray from the Golf Channel to join us and break it down right here on Long Shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.